In late October, the New York Times announced the discovery of what some are calling a long-lost Lou Reed album. Discovered by Judith Perino, a musicologist at Cornell University, the audio cassette features on its B-side 12 previously unheard songs recorded by Reed in late 1975. The cassette was found right here in Pittsburgh, among the 3,500 audio tapes from Andy Warhol's collection that is now housed in the Andy Warhol Museum's archive. Perino was in Pittsburgh doing research on a book about Warhol in the 70s. Most of the tapes in the Warhol's archives still haven't been listened to, so the inventory list of the audio cassettes only documents what's physically written on the tapes. And Perino says she selected the tape only going off its title.
There was no label on it that said Lou Reed, so I knew that the archive didn't know what it was, that the only list in their inventory just had philosophy songs for the side two listing. And then given that the archive didn't have a clear record of what this tape was, I was fairly confident that I had discovered something new and unusual among Lou Reed's scholarship.
The tape was labeled Philosophy Songs from A to B and Back Again, which is the title of Andy Warhol's 1975 book of thoughts on a variety of topics. Perino did extensive research and discovered that the handwriting in black ink on that cassette was indeed Lou Reed's. And from her research, she began to form some conclusions about the tape.
This is a document of Lou Reed and Andy Warhol trying to collaborate, and the complicated emotions that arose during the process of talking about a collaboration over the course of at least 1 year and maybe dribbling into a second year.
But what exactly were Reed and Warhol attempting to collaborate on? First, a little back history. Andy Warhol is credited as the producer of Lou Reed's band The Velvet Underground's 1967 debut album. Warhol even designed the album's now iconic yellow banana cover art. Although it's the only album of the bands that Warhol was affiliated with, Reed and Warhol remained part of each other's New York social circles. Eventually, Reed left the Velvet Underground in 1970 to go solo. In the summer of 1975, for reasons too long to go into, Reed released his fifth album, Metal Machine Music. An album that is basically more than an hour's worth of guitar feedback. Critics called it a career killer for Lou Reed. Later in 1975, Reed released a much more commercially viable record, Coney Island Baby.
You've got that crazy feeling, na 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 na, you've got that crazy feeling.
According to Perino's research, Reed recorded the cassette of the philosophy songs about the same time, and probably presented the cassette to Andy Warhol with a signed copy of his latest album.
What I think happened was that Lou Reed recorded this tape at the end of 1975, and once the pressing of Coney Island Baby came out in 1976, early 1976 in January, my hunch is that he gave the tape and the inscribed record that he gave to Andy Warhol.
I think Lou, particularly around that time, I think was looking for, you know, some kind of new direction, something new to do.
Anthony DeCurtis is a contributing editor for Rolling Stone and the author of the 2017 biography, Lou Reed, A Life.
So the idea about working with Warhol again was something that I think Lou would consider. You know, he would work through the ambivalence of his feelings about Andy if he thought that there was something interesting or compelling in some way that they might do together.
Reed's feelings about Warhol were complicated.
He admired Warhol's ability to manipulate the media, for example. But, you know, he did see Warhol as vapid in a way, and Lou was always striving for a kind of seriousness and level of intellection. And so Warhol's, this kind of one critic, you know, described as a kind of strategic naivete. I think Lou is very dismissive of that. So his feelings were complex, you know, and very divided about Warhol, and would remain that way, I should say.
Judith Perino's theory about the tape is that Reed had recorded it as a series of sketches or ideas based around Warhol's philosophy book, as the two had been in conversation about developing a musical theater production. She writes in her article for the fall edition of the Journal of Musicology, quote, "These philosophy songs do not celebrate Warhol's book. On the contrary, each song mocks and condemns the book and Warhol's vacuity, sometimes viciously so." Perino explained the tape's feel as emotionally complicated, but told me the songs are
a little bit repetitive. If you listen to the tape, you'll see that they're rough. And I certainly became kind of fond of them over the years. They certainly got into my head as earworms, so that all served me very well for this article.
For this story, I did get to hear the tape, and I was very surprised by what I heard. Lou's voice closely mic'd while he plays the guitar, probably a home recording, as you can occasionally hear sounds of the street coming from outside. Reed rips through each song with varying musical styles. There's songs about drag queens, success, fame, a Warhol doll, and a whole lot more. It's an emotional roller coaster of about 45 minutes, and a lot to process, especially given the Warhol Archives policy that researchers are not allowed to take notes, transcribe, or directly quote from any of Warhol's audio tapes. A policy I can understand, as Warhol was a compulsive recorder taking his tape recorder all over with him, recording conversations, nightlife, and whatever he encountered. If you had a friend that you used to party with who recorded everything, and then that friend became one of the most famous artists of the 20th century and his recordings all ended up in a museum, you would probably want to limit how the public could hear those recordings too. Could this tape get some kind of official release at some point? Well, since the work on this particular cassette is actually Lou Reed's, the possibility gets a little more complicated. Anthony DeCurtis explains.
There's a lot of fingers in the pie here with Laurie Anderson, who owns the rights to Lou's music, and the Warhol Museum has physical possession of this tape, and you know, the Andy Warhol Foundation has its own claims on things to do with Andy Warhol. But look, they could fight over this forever. I mean, this is not going to be a blockbuster. I think it would be of interest to serious fans, and I think it would encourage interest in Lou and in Andy. But, you know, people find ways to fight over things that make a lot of sense to do. So,
did Warhol ever hear the tape? Well, according to Perino's findings, Lou Reed thinks he might have.
One 1977 interview in the UK Penthouse magazine that I discovered, where Mick Rock, who's one of Lou Reed's photographers for many of his covers, is interviewing him, and he brings up the tape, or tapes, he actually calls it tapes, plural. And he says, I know you've been working on something around the philosophy songs. And Lou Reed gives a kind of flippant answer, very typical of Reed in interviews, and says, yeah, I gave them to Andy, and he was fascinated but horrified. I think they scared him.
Needless to say, the proposed collaboration between Andy Warhol and Lou Reed never happened. However, Perino is pleased her discovery has renewed curiosity about the two.
It's surprising on one level, but quite heartening that people are interested in Warhol and Lou Reed still. But also, I think just the fact that it has such a great human interest story, and I think we need to hear more human interest stories in a way these days.
For 91.3 WYEP, I'm Brian Sawarek.